So I don't know if I should thank you for having granted me the floor in the first place to be the first speaker, because many people tell me they don't see the relationship between Malcolm X and the Catholic Church. And I have been a Catholic for the past 58 years, and I think that the 60s, if 10 Catholics knew of the existence of Malcolm X, this was a great number. And I will explain why. During the 60s, we were isolated in part due to the blockade. There was a lot of lack of information regarding the international situation. So I think that Father Lucas perhaps should have been the first speaker, because when analyzing the theological Christian context, as I said in my intervention in the first session, we can place the struggle of Malcolm X within the United States, and perhaps this would have been a point of contact with what happened in the Catholic Church from the past 30 years of revolution. However, I would like to greet all the participants to the symposium. They enrich our theoretical knowledge and information, and with all their interventions and dialogue. In order to speak about the Catholic Church in Cuba, and I think I have the right to do so, I have been a member of the church for the past 58 years. But before I make my very brief presentation, of the interpretation of the role played by the Catholic Church in Cuba, perhaps I should make some clarifications that can help the non-Catholics to have a better understanding of this ambiguous and complex situation. First of all, the Catholic Church, as all social, cultural, and religious entity, is a syncretic phenomenon. And the more complex the institution, the more syncretic. Catholicism is a form of Christianity, which emerged from Judaism, which was also a syncretism of old religions from Babylon, Egypt, and Assyria. And I think that Catholicism is not only an expression of Christian syncretism, but in the case of Catholicism in Latin America and in Cuba particularly, Catholicism that reached Cuba came from the Mediterranean region. It was a Spanish Catholicism, which is different from other forms of European Catholicism of that time. And we must add the other influences, such as pre-Christian religions that did not have an influence on the original Palestinian Catholicism, such as Crete, religions from Crete, cult to the Virgin Mary. There was also a strong Arab and Islamic influence due to the presence for over 600 years of Arabs in most of Spain. And after the liberation of Spain from this Arab occupation is when Catholicism reaches Cuba. So many of the features of Cuban Catholicism are not only due to the presence of African religions, which are integrated to Catholic religion and enriching it, that Catholicism was already under the influence of African and Islamic religions before the arrival of the Spaniards to Cuba. I am sad to say, however, this is something that we bear in our memories. And for your knowledge, the first settlers of our island before the arrival of the Spaniards in 1492, the natives were exterminated by the Catholics who occupied our island for four centuries. They were exterminated in only 50 years. Hence the influence of the native culture is very, very little in our current culture, and quite the contrary with respect to African and Spanish culture. This was the effect of the first preaching of the gospel, and perhaps now he has invited to a second preaching of the gospel. I'm referring to Pope John Paul II. As I said, I'm a member of the Catholic Church. And it has become an interesting phenomenon. Since the Catholic Church is an international institution which includes different cultures and is present in different social regimes and geographical regions, it is very interesting because it can be neutralized, it can be antagonic, and can even support a given political movement. Within the church, there is no monolithic unity as we, as those of us consider that exists. Due to its dimension, international dimension, there are many controversial currents within Catholicism. Many currents broke away from this religion. Others maintain their tensions, which at times are sharpened by the political phenomenon which occur in the different countries. Here in Latin America, there is much tension within the church, and this has given world Catholicism part of its political power, because in the extent that the institution and spokesmen have come into contradiction with the different social regimes, there are sectors within the church that have supported new systems. And to use a popular saying, I would say that my church has laid its eggs in different baskets, and so when it runs out of eggs in one basket, there will always be others. Unfortunately, this also has a negative impact. This incarnation of Catholicism throughout 20 centuries of history and social regimes, at times it has distorted its fundamental role and the content of Christianity. However, this is a historical fact, and hence it must be analyzed as such. As you know, the official religion or doctrine, excuse me, the pontifical doctrine expressed by the Pope since the very emergence of utopian socialism, and later on with Marxist and scientific socialism, and after the victory of the October Revolution, all the Catholic doctrine was eminently anti-communist. This atheism, which I do not think is inherent to Marxism, however, it has been so in different spheres. Well, this was a pretext for Catholicism to combat the liberating possibilities of Marxism in different areas of the world. in 1959, there were events which unfortunately hindered this mutual understanding, aside from the historical doctrines that I mentioned initially, from during the 40s in Cuba. There was a Cuban cardinal who published a pastoral letter warning the Catholics that to be a communist was to be an atheist, but to support a communist movement, or even to support a movement that supported a communist movement, represented the excommunication of from the church. So any Catholic who wanted to save his soul and go to heaven, of course he was afraid to be excommunicated from the church. And so all of this provoked much prejudice and much fear. And all of this responded to the worsening of the situation. And precisely during the 40s and the 50s, in certain areas of the Soviet Union, which was the Catholic Church of Polish Orient, which was present in part of Ukraine, which was manipulated through by the Vatican, and in other parts, the Baptist Church, which had its direct dependency with the U.S. Baptist churches, well, they assume an anti-communist, anti-Soviet position, which provoked much repression on the part of Stalin's government. All of this generated within the world communist movement an anti-religious position, which prevailed in the movement. This was the condition at the beginning of the revolution, a Catholicism that was anti-communist, and a world communist movement that was much anti-religious and atheist. However, during the Cuban liberation process, before the victory of the revolution, there was an absolute integration among the believers and non-believers, both in the mountains where pastors, priests participated, as well as in the underground movement. Therefore, at the victory of the revolution, we cannot observe any contradiction between Catholicism, state, and government. My brother, Carlos Piedra, will refer to the Protestant Church because the Catholic Church was under the influence of the Franco's Church in Spain, and Protestant religion had other nuances in Cuba. The radicalization of the revolution by adopting popular measures adopted the interest of the bourgeoisie, who had great bearing on the Catholic Church, and manipulated by the counter-revolutionary interests from abroad and domestically, they manipulated important sectors of the episcopal, and as a result of which they opposed an atheist revolution, and all of this generated a period from 1960 to 68, I would say, a period of contradictions both at the institutional level and at the personal level. There were lay personalities and personalities of the Catholic Church that were active in counter-revolutionary movements, and they were repressed not because of their belief, but because they manipulated this faith against the interest of the Cuban people that the revolution defended. Even though there were very severe contradiction, I would say not all was lost. These contradictions were not cruel nor extreme. As a result of the wisdom of the government and of Catholics who joined the revolution, this contradiction was moderate. And at the end, the Catholic force was politically defeated. However, its anti-popular expressions were defeated, and the bourgeois sector of the church abandoned the country. Many say that it was a shame because there were many professionals and technicians that responded to the chants of the mermaids of imperialism and they left Cuba. However, I personally consider that the people of Cuba were actually freed themselves from many obstacles that would have hindered the march of the revolution. So from the dialectical stand, I think that the leadership of the church, because it did not understand the process, trying to save some of its faithful and to hinder the revolution, freed the people from many counter-revolutionaries, which would have been much more harmful here in Cuba than in Miami. In 1968, the church began to react as a result of the Second Vatican Council. And some of the Cuban bishops pronounced themselves against the blockade imposed by the U.S. government. There are pastoral letters instilling the Catholics to participate in the revolutionary life. And the process of contradiction is reverted, and a dialogue begins, which is progressive. There are ups and downs, there are contradictions at the hierarchy and institutional level. This goes on during the 70s. However, many sectors of the Catholicism, which, as I said at the beginning, is quite syncretic. There is much spiritual and African religious influence. All of this forms the huge conglomerate of Cuban Catholicism. However, the greater sectors of the Catholic religions have joined the revolution and receive all the benefits from the revolution. Some of them do not attend church, and it gives the impression that there has been a decrease in the number of Catholics. So during the 70s, as a result of the set feedback and the liberation process in Latin America and all the testimonies of the Chileans, the Salvadoran, and as a result of the survival of Christians within the Cuban Revolution as a possibility for integration, there is a new stage. A new stage begins in Cuban Catholicism. This was officially known as Cuban reflection, the reflection of the Catholic Church. This occurred at all levels of the church, including the priests, the laity, the youth sectors, professionals, etc., in order to find a consensus of what was to be the mission of the Catholic Church in socialist Cuba. I would like to point out that in 5 years of Catholicism in Cuba, the church had never analyzed such an issue, nor the possibility of a future As a Catholic, I would like to thank the revolution that for the first time the Catholic Church analyzed this possibility of reconciliation with God. The Church acknowledged that it committed a sin, that it betrayed the people during the colonization process and slavery, and as a result of all the political deformities of the pseudo-republic with corrupt governments, dictatorial regimes against which the people had to struggle, and by this, by people I mean believers and non-believers. And during the first 5 years of the 80s, there is a national gathering in 1985, which included a personal delegate of the Pope, who blessed this new projection of Cuban Catholicism. The movement continues with its ups and downs. And to give you a definition, the Church, through its spokesman, the bishop, declared that it has sinned against God because it sinned against the people of Cuba. It also shed a light because some outstanding Catholic personalities help to conform a national awareness and the need for independence in the past century. And of course, the Catholic Church has its lights and shadows, but at last, for the first time, the Church, the hierarchy of the Church, admits that it had sinned. And it sets a guideline with its own peculiar reality. It does not wish to continue being a church of silence like in Eastern Europe. It wants to exert, with running the risk of committing mistakes, it wants to prophesize and to contribute to the purification of the revolutionary process. It also wishes to contribute and to participate in the work, the intellectual work of the people, as part of its people, which it admits to be a part of for the first time. Therefore, it must suffer and rejoice with its people. And it emits the theory of the reconciliation. It is not an opportunistic reconciliation. It is a reconciliation with God, because we have returned to the true mission of the Church of serving our people. And as a church, we will be able to join with the other institutions that serve the people and thus be able to cooperate on an equal footing. These are the perspectives that we have before us for the 90s. Another paper would be the reaction of the Communist Party vis-a-vis this transformation process of the Church. Obviously, I cannot expand on this issue. I have just provided you with some items, and because I was thinking about the conversion of Malcolm X from a marginal life to becoming a prophet of liberation, not only for the black people of the United States, I would say for the peoples of the world, the peoples of the third world, who are the victims of imperialism. Thus, this movement, in which we can insert the work and thought of Malcolm X, and thus we consider that Malcolm X can form part of this movement that the Father will explain in depth. He also, the Cuban Catholicism, as you observed, was able to free itself from negative trends and is also conversed and begins to actively cooperate with the people. A phrase that was very popular when addressing the most reactionary sectors of the church, we used to tell them that when the Yankees attack attack Cuba, the bombs will not bear the hammer and sickle or a cross. They will attack everyone. So it is fundamental that we unite, because if we do not unite, we will die. I am not trying to make a commercial, because we do not commercialize our work. However, I would like to suggest the following. There are books published abroad on Cuban and religion. Several books have been published in Spain and in the United States. However, I have written a book, and it has been published by a U.S. Publishing house. I hope that it is by the Maronal priests, and it is called The Church and Socialism in Cuba. That will give you an idea of what has occurred up to 1985. However, I do not wish to be sectarian and nationalist. There is a Canadian professor, Professor John Kirk, who published a book with a more suggestive book called Between God and the Party. And I recommend that you read this book. You can purchase this book in the United States. I would like to apologize if I have extended myself. Thank you.